a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Things just get better from here. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
Another great liner from the old days.
Or does it get better from here?
All right, Alex, this is the Nightside Project. Everybody, thanks for grabbing
thanks
this episode.
Thanks for hanging out, everybody.
We appreciate it. You know, one thing I've been just dying to talk to you about.
Yeah, yeah.
Is
we cut off one of our episodes early this week with that whole...
Because you got so depressing.
What was
Goop.
It about... Oh, it was Gwyneth Paltrow's...
Just so bummed out.
Gwyneth Paltrow's... It's her essential oils.
You know, we've got...
It's her version of the essential oils.
People say, why should you argue over anything anymore? Because now you can just Google it on your phone. Why would you ever argue about this, that, or the other? Because you can look it up. You know what I mean? Where was Tom Petty
born? There's academic stuff that's just
right.
easy to know.
But and so you'd think, but... We believe in 10 times more stupid conspiracies and myths today than we did back before the internet.
That's exactly right. We make fun of the old days, quote unquote, because we'll be like, how dumb were they? They thought that throwing their poop in the streets was amazing. And now people are like, poop facials are the best.
Now people are like, do you guys know the earth is flat? No, seriously, legit. It's a giant conspiracy between the Bilderberg Group. George Soros and every airline pilot in the world. And NASA. It's a huge conspiracy, you guys.
You said Bilderberg or Build-A-Bear?
The Build-A-Bear group.
Because I saw this thing this week that said, you know, I don't know why we do this thing with Build-A-Bear. Because have you ever been into one? I mean, you're a parent.
Three kids later, you've been to a Build-A-Bear?
Well, I know, but I've avoided them largely. I think that they're kind of a thing of the past. To be honest.
I guess.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you where there is. There used to be that one over here at the gateway.
My kids have grown out of that phase, but
were they in that phase at some point?
Oh, yeah. No, they...
My kids have stuffed things. Mm-hmm. Squashmallows are kind of the thing now.
Yeah.
But here's what my kids are all about now. All right. Sorry. The Build-A-Bear thing is kind of freaky because somebody was like, hey, Build-A-Bear is taxidermy light. Like, your kids are going in there, and they're watching the skin of this animal being stuffed full what do they stuff it with? Newspapers?
The skins of other animals.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Who is this? Because it's an amazing
Same guy who probably said, Utah's Montana Light.
Tell him to get a job in talk radio. Tell him talk radio needs him.
You know what?
Get your hot Build-A-Bear takes.
Hey, everybody.
Build-A-Bear takes here.
Come down to Salt Lake City. You can get the newest IPA, Montana Light. All the calories of Utah, just half the IQ.
Okay. All right. Millard, what do you have then? What do you have?
All right. Duh. Now I'm depressed again. So the last time I tried to tee up this subject, what I think is really interesting.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I was too depressed to do it before. Now I'm depressed again.
So Build-A-Bear Taxidermists Incorporated? That's got you freaked out?
Something has me just... I just want to vomit. I don't know what it is. All right. So check this out. This is a story about Boris Zurid. Boris Zurid was a well-known dolphin trainer, is still a well-known Russian dolphin trainer. He actually worked for the Soviet Union in training dolphins for military purposes.
This is the guy who did the dolphins that had like torpedoes on their heads and stuff?
Yeah, so they had they trained dolphins to be able to skewer divers with skewers? spears, I guess, you know, like attached to them.
Skewers, because then he probably keeps them later and cooks them.
And also, basically suicide missions, although the dolphins weren't aware they were being trained for suicide missions, but they could carry explosive mines to enemy vessels, and the dolphins were trained to know the difference between American submarines and Russian submarines based on the sound that the propellers made. And so they had all this extensive dolphin training program. Well, it ran out of money, and Boris took custody of the dolphins because he loved them. And the Russians are like, look, man, we can't pay for this. He's like, okay, well, can I have him? Sure, you can have him. So he's working it. You know, he's down
I'm assuming SeaWorld.
Down near the Black Sea, feeding these dolphins, kind of keeping up the training a little bit, showing them off. Yeah. Putting
torpedoes on their flippers and stuff. Yeah.
So he runs out of money, can't keep them anymore.
Oh.
So he's all, hey, man, who wants
dolphin
these
meat?
Military-trained dolphins?
Oh, I thought you were going to say dolphin meat.
And
that
along comes the Islamic Republic of Iran and says, well, you know, we got the Strait of Hormuz here. I don't know, maybe we could use some...
I don't like any of this.
So he and apparently, and according to this guy, everything went lock, stock, and barrel to Iran. He said they continued training them. And so Iran apparently has this force of weaponized dolphins. Now, dolphins can live to be like 50 years old. So experts think that these are probably, for the most part, the same dolphins, right, that were trained under the USSR. And but apparently Iran's got them. Now, we haven't seen them yet, but if they've been keeping up with the training, allegedly able to, and they could do this. They could swim up there with mines and explosives up to not just military vessels, but also potentially civilian cargo vessels, freighters, things like that. And I was just astonished to read that. Now, check this out. Since then, apparently Russia has regretted letting go of its crack dolphin fleet.
Oh, yeah.
And so they've gone back
they don't care. Listen, they have to look at it like they do. All of their military stuff ends up getting sold to third parties anyway.
Yeah.
And by third parties, I mean third world countries and dictators and stuff that are like, I will take your MiG. We'll use. Yes? And then it's not good. And then they go, well, we didn't know it was going to go to bad purposes. Like, yeah, you did. You sold it to those idiots. Come on.
So apparently they've Russia's restarted its military, its weaponized sea creature program.
My goodness. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Norwegian fishermen last year, you may remember this, actually spotted a beluga whale wearing a harness from St. Petersburg, suggesting that Russia
was it maybe
was
just a hipster
belugas.
That was like wearing like a fanny pack?
It could have been at like hipster a ray beluga or whale. Something. We don't know what kind of harness it was.
I swear there's an Etsy channel for like, oh, beluga whale harness. It's like amazing. Oh, my gosh.
So there you go. So yeah, something else to watch out for with the Iranians.
Is it Iranians? Iranian?
I don't know. Oh. Look, man, I'm from Utah.
Montana Light?
Can I get some credit for knowing the name of the country? I can actually pick it out on a map, too.
Edan.
I should get extra
Edan.
Credit for that.
Edan. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen. All right, we'll take the break here. We've got Zen Headline around the corner here. Mm-hmm. And, we'll see what's going on with some of the good news in the world that doesn't have to do with dolphins hitting you with a nuclear bomb at some
or
point.
Skewering you.
Is it skewer? Like, is it a skewer if you put vegetables on it and then they skewer you? Would it be?
That's the difference.
Yeah, yeah,
versus
yeah.
being impaled and skewered. Are there other food items on the end?
Would you like
of that?
A chicken, beef, or American skewer?
Or frogman?
All right. We'll be back. Zen Headlines are next.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Done fidgeting over there, buddy? You okay?
All right.
Settle down.
I'm all right. All right, we got a Zen headline right here. By the way, by the way, just in fairness, I want to point out
what
that the Soviet Union.
Oh, in
and
fairness
Iran
to the Soviet Union,
are not the only ones that have trained animals.
Okay.
The U.S. actually
we invented it.
Now we haven't, according to the U.S. military, we haven't trained these mammals to kill like that. But
they do have a cyanide capsule in their back dolphin teeth, just in case they get caught.
We actually keep about 30 dolphins and 30 sea lions that are trained to track and mark sea mines, underwater mines. And also...
Wait, sea lions?
Sea lions and dolphins
okay.
that we have. And
cool.
we actually deployed dolphins, sea lions, and belugas to transport gear to divers, track retrieve lost objects, and use cameras underwater during the Vietnam and Persian Gulf Wars. So,
I love it.
That's it. But hopefully, we've never trained one for some kind of weirdo suicide.
20
mission.
Million horses and mules and donkeys died in World War I. Using animals for warfare,
the thing we've done for a long time,
is a thing.
Hopefully, though, we wrap that up. It's not really
fair.
We want
to eat them. We don't want to kill them.
It's not enough that we eat them. It's not enough that we breed them for that specific purpose. We always got to like...
We don't eat donkeys. Do we?
I've eaten a goat. People eat donkeys.
I'm sure.
All right. Dunkin' Donuts.
Donkey Donuts?
Dunkin' yeah. Donuts has a new menu item. It's created in conjunction with Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
They're using the Beyond Meat sausage patty.
That's okay. So Snoop is a part of this?
Snoop is a part of this.
All right.
They're calling it the Beyond D-O-double-G sandwich.
Of course.
It was inspired by the rapper's, quote, passion for plant-based protein and love of glazed donuts. Did you know that he has a passion for plant-based protein? Apparently he does.
That's, yeah. He has a passion for plant-based things for sure.
So it is a Beyond sausage patty with egg and cheese served on a sliced glazed donut, which all day long I will eat that. So congratulations. They did it.
There you go.
They did it.
There you go.
They're going to roll it out in, over the course of... the next couple of months. It's going to start selling on Monday. I don't know if it's going to be selling everywhere on Monday, but, sometimes they got to roll it out. But how about that?
I'm way into celebrities getting their due, because that's a guy who's done a lot of good. And, no, I'm not. I like Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, he seems fine.
I would not have guessed that he's a guy who's like, hey, he's not a vegan though, right?
The sandwich is not vegan.
No, but I mean like he's not vegetarian either.
He just rolls.
He's like that particular thing because some people just like the taste of the fake sausage, like those morning. What are they called?
Morningstar Farms is a popular one. Yeah.
So Morningstar, people like those fake sausage. The flavor.
And it's
like,
actually. It's actually not a bad way to go.
And you think about like that. The alternative is a lot.
So when I think about the things that I love that are plant that are animal based foods, I love cheese, like eggs. I feel like this sandwich kind of represents what I think would be like a pretty reasonable way to move forward, and that is keeping eggs and cheese, but setting aside the cuts of meat specifically. You know what I mean? Like, if you really wanted to kind of embrace that lifestyle where you just, you didn't do that anymore, that makes the most amount of sense to me.
So keep the eggs and cheese. Bag the real sausage.
Because if someone came to me and said...
If someone came to me and said this, and
they said, okay, Ethan, we're going to give you a choice. You got to cut out for the rest of your life a plant-based product. You can either give up the cuts of meat, like the beef, or give up the cheese. And I'd keep the cheese. I'd give up the beef all day. You know what I mean?
I'd use the veggie crumbles. You only have one choice. You have one choice. It's like the genie granting you only one of your breakfast item wishes.
Cheese and eggs are the real valuable animal products in my mind. Eggs because they're
eggs
so
are super cheap. By
well,
the way.
And eggs because
cheese is expensive.
Well, and eggs because they're you per use pound, them everywhere.
Per pound, cheese is as expensive as sausage, like pork sausage. You know what I mean? So,
anyway, good job, Snoop Dogg. The Beyond DOGG sandwich coming to Dunkin' Donuts near you.
I will never buy it. I'm not because I just don't. I'm not going to get my breakfast sandwiches at.
I'd try just to try Dunkin'. It. Come on, you'd try. I mean, if you had a chance to. What if I said, hey, let's go try the.
Food. Yeah, I would eat food in front of me. You're right. I don't make a point to. Look, you know I have a thing against Dunkin' Donuts, actual donuts.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the donuts at Dunkin' Donuts.
Look, there's a Dunkin' Donuts literally the same distance from from Banbury Cross to my house, and I would prefer that over the frozen flop that they give you
all day
at the Dunkin' Donuts.
You know what? I saw an interesting thing. I actually retweeted it on Twitter.
What was it?
But I don't think you follow me on Twitter.
I know I do. I just don't get on Twitter as much as I should. But anyway, keep going.
So it's.
But you don't think I follow you? Come on. Of course I do.
It's this observation this guy had, and he's got a whole mathematical equation around it where he pointed out, he said, you know, you can fit 27% more donuts in the donut box if they're square. He's got this whole thing rolled out.
Oh,
like
I saw that.
Donuts,
no,
man,
I saw that. Was
donuts.
That you that sent that out?
Yeah.
It was like 27% more donut.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm on board.
Because when you think about it, when you look at a dozen donuts in a box.
Yeah.
A lot of empty space.
And it's annoying, too, because you, because you get the donuts and they're all different sizes, but they're all circular, and you have to start jamming some in, or you have a bunch of empty space, it starts sliding around. I get it.
You know, I've sometimes wondered if there'd be an opportunity at some point to reintroduce the world to Millard's Donuts.
Oh.
The world-famous Millard Donuts that retired with my grandfather so many years ago.
But he didn't take the recipe to his grave.
Not all of it, but, you know, I don't know, maybe something like square donuts would be a cool niche thing.
It would, and, I mean, ask Wendy's, man. They freaking,
Millard's.
Square patties are, the same thing. They're like, they're more efficient to cook, but they're more patty for your buck.
Millard's square donuts. They're really uptight donuts.
It's
hip to be square.
Yeah.
This writes itself. I'm a fool to not pursue this.
Well, I mean, Throw me a writing bone, would you? At least a credit. On the door.
I'll give you some donuts.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd eat some Millard donuts for sure. You know, I'm actually fantastic at biscuits. I make the heck out of some biscuits. Some guy in our office the other day brought in some biscuits. He's like, oh man, I made these biscuits. I'm like, those are flat as heck. Those are terrible.
Square biscuits.
I could do that. All right, for
we
Ethan
could do
Miller,
a whole thing. This
I'm
is,
Alex Curie. The eggs and the cheese.
This is the future of the Nightside Project. This is the future of the Nightside Project we're getting right here.
Yeah.
Square pastries.
We'll be back again next time. I'll bring in my square biscuits. Ethan will bring in his square donuts, and they'll do battle. So download the podcast wherever podcasts are found. Me love you long time.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.